Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back, everybody. It's the IT Babble podcast, and so much is going on. I mean, holy smokes, there's college football, there's professional football, and there are snow days. Tony, you are working in Jackson, Mississippi, not really known for its snow, but yet today you guys had a snow day, is that correct?
That's right. Apparently a slight dusting cripples the city and nobody wants to drive. So,
Well,
that was fine. I mean, I just work from home. It's kind of like, isn't a snow day the same as just what we've been doing? But I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to go with it.
There you go. Enjoy your day off, right? Enjoy.
But I didn't take it. Like, all I did was cancel meetings for people who wanted to have a snow day. I still had to work. Like, I guess I could have taken the day off, but I don't like to get to the end of the week with stuff to do. And I'm working on some legal documents for my school, and they're very time consuming, and I have to proofread them like 50 times, and then I have my buddy, who you know, Keith,
yep,
also proofreads them, because we're trying to reduce our actual legal fees with our lawyers, so we're just trying to get it as close as possible. It's nothing, it's just, this is all just like, it's not that exciting. It's just stuff that we have to do. And so anyway, I've been working all that stuff. I've been writing like
are you there?
I'm like on file.
Okay.
Like our lawyer wants us to have a big revised one that covers all these different areas.
Yep.
And so I'm working on all that stuff. So it's like, it just never ends, right? That these kind of documents, they take months to slowly write and read and then have people proofread them. Then they come back. So I just like to kind of get that stuff done on days like this when people aren't around. So I just have like a note, like, wake up and read this boring stuff that you wrote. It's like your own words, but you don't want to read them. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, we had an incident where I had to look over some lawyer jargon speak that had to be sent out to people because it involved technology, and I was. It wasn't very long. It was only like 2 or 3 pages, but man, it's just no fun. No fun at all. No fun. But you know what else is fun? College football and NFL football is fun, Tony. Not everybody agrees, but I think it's pretty fun. Good stuff there.
So I haven't been following it, Patrick. You got to give me an update. What's going on?
Here we are.
First off,
yep.
Did they finally let the Bengals play in the NCAA?
No, the Bengals are actually an up-and-coming team, so they've got a good new rookie quarterback. He got injured this year, but when he took the field, they were very competitive. They are a much better team than their record suggests. I will say that. And I am not a football expert, but when you watch them play, you're like, man, if that call had gone that way, I think they probably would have won. Or, geez, if that, you know. I think they're a very young team. I think they've got a lot. They're going to have a really good year next year. I think they're going to have a very good year. It's very good.
Patrick, I feel like that speech you just gave about the Bengals, I feel like we're in 1990 and I'm hearing that speech again. Weren't they the losingest team of the previous, from 1990 to 2000 or from 2000 to 2010? It was something like that, right?
Decade. It could very well be. The Browns would be up there. The Detroit Lions may be up there. There were some bad teams, but the Bengals are definitely in that conversation, if not the top of that conversation. But I think things are turning around. I think things are really turning around for them. There's a lot of optimism in Cincinnati these days, Tony. Lots of optimism. It's not something you hear a lot, you know, when you're talking about the Bengals.
If it's not successful this year, I'm going to just – we need to have a petition where they're at least allowed to play in the NCAA.
They would dominate. They would dominate. Anyway.
I bet they would not. I bet they would do something crazy and not dominate. But I'd like to see it.
Okay. It would be kind of fun. Have an intramural or something. Yeah. Anyway, the college football championship is tonight. For the people who don't care, that's Ohio State and Alabama. And Alabama is a 9-point favorite. And honestly, Ohio State kind of cheated their way into the BCS, but they beat Clemson. I'm an Ohio State fan, being from Columbus, Ohio. And they beat Clemson, which was really unexpected. In fact, they beat them badly.
How did they cheat their way in?
Oh, well, okay. So they, in order to be eligible for the National Bowl, the BCS, you have to have played in your conference championship game. The Big Ten has a rule that says you have to play 6 games in the conference in order to play in the conference in the Big Ten championship game. They only had 4 or 5, and so the Big Ten changed the rules so Ohio State could play in the Big Ten championship game, of which they won. And then they went and played Clemson, but a reason why they didn't play so many games is because they had too many players who had tested positive for COVID. So it's not like, oh, the other teams couldn't play us because they had COVID. No, no. Ohio State Buckeyes, our team, had COVID and had to cancel a number of games. And so we didn't get our required games. I think we cheated our way in. I think a lot of people probably feel that way too. But I'm just glad we beat Clemson.
I just sent a message to a very, rabid Ohio State fan?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hey, I heard OSU cheated their way in. What gives? if I get a message back, I'll read it on the podcast.
Please. That would be great. That would be awesome. Anyway, we have got a really good episode. We're going to talk about teachers who are teaching from home. We have 2 teachers at my school who are teaching from home, and I just want to talk about the setup and what we did to make that happen and how that's going, because we've been doing that now for over a week. Tony, you want to give your review of the Blue Yeti microphone?
Yes, I do.
Because they're good. And I wrote a tutorial about YouTube playlists, but a lot of people out there, it's more than just like saying, hey, I want to watch these videos and saving them for a later time. There's a lot more to it. It's pretty neat, pretty powerful, and great for collaboration. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the things that we like about that. But first, Tony, let's talk about independent hosting services. What do you mean, and why are they important?
Okay, so Patrick and I had a brief chat before the podcast, and we were talking about a lot of the news that's going around. A lot of people, especially in IT, are talking about hosting. Patrick, hold on.
Yeah, sorry.
That was pretty loud ice sound.
Sorry, I'm putting it on the ground. I'm about done with my water.
We're going to pause.
Okay.
All right, so there's been some debate online recently about independent hosting, because over the years, a lot of people have moved their services to large cloud platforms like Amazon, Azure, and Google.
Yep.
And there's an assumption that within those platforms, you have a business contract, so you have full autonomy. But I would argue that you don't have full autonomy. And at a certain point, if those companies have some problem, or if they have a problem with the contract or a problem with something you're doing, they can shut you down, or they can interfere with your business or with your hosting. Mm-hmm. So, this is in terms of like the internet, this is actually pretty new. So although cloud stuff's been around for a while, it's only been in the last, like, I would say 7 years that people have really gone all in for cloud. And a lot of it starts with backups. So this is what happens. You are doing your own backups, and if you've got enough data and you're being diligent, you probably have some kind of media-based backup system, like a tape backup system. And then one day, that thing fails, and you're like, okay, I'm going to replace it. And you go online, and you realize that the price of a new media-based backup system is like $6,000 to $10,000. And you're like, wait, what? Why is it so much? What was it that much before? And then you look at your overall cost of backups, and you're like, you know, if I back up to this cloud service, like an Amazon service, or something like Nakivo, which is a separate company that uses Amazon as their back end. So it's basically the same thing. I can do it for a lot less, and it's really reliable, and I can back up from all these different places. And then I can download that once a month, and I can come up with this new strategy, and it's great. So you get into that with backups, and you're like, oh, well, you know, storage is actually pretty cheap too. Like, we can set up private storage, and you do that. And then it's like, oh, we need a new server. Oh, guess what? We can build a server online and use the services there. We don't have to buy the hardware. So what happens is, over time, you do software as a service. You pay for the online services. You stop investing in the hardware. You start saving a lot of money. But do you really own your data, which I've talked about before? Do you really own – you do own it in terms of privacy, but do you? Can you access it? Can you get it? Can you move it? Can it be taken away from you, and can it be shut off? And I think – right now in America, everybody knows the answer to that is yes. Now, maybe it bothers you, maybe it doesn't, but you should know that there are alternatives. There's lots of different ways to do hosting. And independent hosting, we're talking about companies like, you probably know, like GoDaddy is a very common one for hosting websites, but there's a lot of companies out there that offer hosting, and there's all these different types of plans. And if you wanted to look at your whole infrastructure, you might want to put, for example, your maybe kind of a backup of all of your data, for example. You might want to consider building a private server somewhere that's not in a popular cloud or a popular space, where it's more of a contractual private relationship, so that if your public space were to have some kind of conflict, your backups might not get impacted. So there's a lot of different types of services. So there's co-location, and co-location means that you are sending them some type of server and they're installing it in their data center. So you get all the benefits of their bandwidth, their security, all of that, but you own the actual physical metal hardware that maybe your virtualized operating system is going on to. So that's a big deal, because you own the property and nobody is going to mess with your property. And I think that's, you know, that's important, because you have actual ownership of the equipment. Then you can do private hosting, which means that you're paying a little bit more per month, but within the space that you're renting, there's no other companies using that space. So if somebody's running a database that's not in your company or not in your school, and they do something stupid and they start stressing out the resources, it doesn't impact you. Then there's shared hosting, which is a little bit cheaper, but you're going to be like in a cluster. So you are going to be private, but other people are going to be using the same hardware. They're going to be using the memory and the storage space. And so if somebody does something that they shouldn't do, it can impact everybody on the cluster. So you can host your services. And so that's like your web pages and your code and all that on one service. And if you're really clever, you can actually put your data on another service or on another server. So you actually can split what people see and touch with where the data comes from into two different places, further kind of diversifying it. The upside of that is you actually could have the front of your website on multiple services, and if one goes down, you can turn the other one on and it just starts pulling the data. So that's when you've kind of started to decentralize stuff. And you can also run data on multiple databases and switch between the two of them if you need to. You just have to keep them synced up. So there's actually a lot of different ways to host your content. Now, I have a small podcast I do occasionally just to help people with like job recruitment. And I built all of that myself inside of a hosting company. So I don't have it hosted through any major brand that you could think of. It's all hosted independently under a private hosting contract. They don't even know I have a podcast. They just know that I've rented the space and I'm using it, and I can run code on it and install stuff. And, you know, I pay for the storage, but I don't need a lot of storage. But if I want more, I can buy more. And so that's kind of like the big summary, is that if you do have some concern about decentralizing a little bit or decoupling a little bit from some of these larger services, it's still totally feasible to do. And a lot of companies do that anyway. I know some companies who still don't feel comfortable putting stuff in like the Amazon cloud, the Google cloud, or the Microsoft cloud, because if they argue that somewhere that equipment lives somewhere, and even though it's all supposed to be virtualized and encrypted, there's still a physical piece of equipment somewhere that has all or part of your data. And the argument is there's still a person around that physical equipment who could technically get to it. And so certain things they just won't put up in the cloud at all. And the final thing that you can do is you can pay for a lot of bandwidth at your like campus, and you can build all this stuff on campus. But the problem with that is that you do have to pay for a lot of bandwidth because you have to serve the content outwards. So it's not just what you do internally on the campus, but when people are at home, they have to be able to access it and use it. And that requires a lot of bandwidth. That also requires much higher security design. You need a better security design for that. You can't just run like your normal like setup that you have now, which is basically just downloads, uploads, and get to your web pages and use your cloud services outside of the school.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm done.
All right. And I guess on something that people should is this takes a bit more time because you're setting up everything, you're managing everything. But it does. And I know some people out there are like, but the cloud is fine. The cloud is okay. But I'm gonna pull a particular example, Tony, if I may.
Okay.
I'm not picking on anything. I'm not saying this is going to happen. This is just an example. Edmodo, which is a very popular learning management system, one I like, is owned by Tencent, which is a Chinese company. Now, I don't think there's any problem between Tencent and the United States government. But what if relationship between America and China deteriorates and America wants to make a statement and they're like, no Chinese company can do business here in the United States, and they cut that off, and Edmodo is gone. Like, that's, you know, whereas you could be running your own Moodle on your own server. You know, that's just an example. I'm not saying this is going to happen at all. It's just, you know, a possibility kind of a thing that could happen. Or you could remember, what was it, in 2008, where Amazon Web Services went down for like a number of days?
Yeah, and with the SolarWinds breach, I mean, there's been some major outages.
Yeah, that's right. It's been affecting things. So it's not a bad idea to have some of this infrastructure backed up and whatnot. So that's good. Yeah, and plus having another thing, people out there, if you go onto your independent hosting service, like we have one for our domains because we need to. That's a good place to register your domains. You can do lots of fun stuff with there. So if you want to have like an internal blog that nobody really knows about, but you want it like maybe an internal school newspaper or something, like you could set that up on one of those hosting domains, super simple with WordPress or whatnot, and completely set that up and get that up and running in an afternoon, like a pretty easy thing to do. It gives you total control over it too, which is great. A lot of ownership. I like that. That's good. Independent hosting services. Good one, Tony. Good one. I'm distracted. I'm sorry. I'm a little distracted. On my Zoom H6, the recording, it gives you a number. Like it counts up like how many minutes you've been doing. And it's flashing. And I don't know if I ever remember it flashing. And sometimes it flashes once, and sometimes it flashes twice, and sometimes it flashes three times. I don't know. I got to look it up. It's distracting. I don't think anything is wrong with my Zoom because it's built.
Is it recording?
Yeah, I think it says it's recording. It's built like a tank. So I don't know. So. I'm gonna. Well, I'll test it out. I'll play around with it, and do some research. I think everything is fine. There's probably just a setting in there, like a compression is on, and I don't know. I think everything's good. I'm okay, Tony. I'm okay.
All right.
You know what else is okay? Teachers teaching from home. How about that for a segue?
It better be okay.
So we're back in the school. So we have all our students back at school, but we have two teachers who is comorbidity. Is that the correct term? Like they don't have COVID. but they have an underlying condition that makes them more susceptible, more at risk than the average bear. They are teaching from home, and so they came to the technology department and go, "We need a solution. What should we do?" I said you could have a Zoom meeting, and everybody in the class can just join it. And they didn't like that idea. They explained to me their argument against it was that kids could have other tabs open, and they wouldn't really know. I guess they could use Go Guardian, but they could have other tabs going on. They wouldn't really know what's going on. There wouldn't be like a focus. Everything would be fragmented. And they kind of want like all the kids kind of looking up at they wanted to simulate like a traditional classroom. So they wanted one laptop at the front of the room hooked up to a projector so they could see the teacher's face, and the teacher could then speak and instruct, and the sound would come out of the projector or out of some external speakers hanging on the wall. So that's what they wanted, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, good. But they were very quick to figure out that, wow, sound, the microphone on the laptops suck. they're not good at all, which is true on any laptop. I don't care if it's Apple. I don't care if it's a $3,000 gaming laptop or a Chromebook. The microphone is going to be garbage. It just is. If it's fine if you're sitting 3 feet away from it or closer, but if you're trying to capture somebody's voice who is 12 feet away in the back of the room, it's going to do a very poor job of that. It's going to do a really poor job of that. So they settled on a blue Snowball Ice microphone, which you can pick up for $50. It's a USB microphone. It's really good. It's really solid. It's inexpensive. What they wanted was, they didn't know what it was called, but they wanted a microphone array. They wanted a microphone.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I know. Don't we all? And for those of you who are not familiar with what a microphone array is, it's usually it looks like a sound bar, but it'll have a whole bunch of microphones in there, and then a ton of processing in there to actually simulate even more microphones. I demoed one where I was standing in the corner facing away from the microphone, speaking at normal voice into this corner about 10 feet away, and it picked me up as if I was standing right in front of it. It was pretty amazing. The problem with it is that it's a sound bar that is 6 feet long, and it has to be mounted onto the wall. It's not portable. These teachers are going to be traveling around to different classrooms. So we have to have a portable setup. So that wouldn't work. Even though it would be great, it just wouldn't work. So we had a blue Snowball Ice. They're $50, right around there, and they sound fine. But the kids have got to do their part. They've got to speak up too. Like, it can't all be on the microphone. Microphones can't make somebody's voice louder if it can't hear that person.
Correct.
So, but.
And that's, I think I've had that issue too. Somebody was complaining. I'm like, your students are just barely speaking. They have to speak clearly. They need to speak up. They need to enunciate.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what they have is we have a teaching assistant who's in the room that does the setup. And it's a real simple setup because it's a laptop. And it's kind of, I got this idea from you and from your high flex, Tony. The laptop is logged into a fake student account. And so that student joins the teacher's meeting, and they're the only two people in the meeting. They have a microphone, which is set up in the room, kind of in a central part, and it does its best to pick up student questions and whatnot. And that's how they've been doing it. We've been doing it for about a week, and we have a direct connection to the projector. We're not going through an Apple TV. We're not going through a Chromecast. We're not going through anything like that. We are directly connecting to the projector via HDMI.
Whoa, Patrick.
Well, we had so one of our assistants accidentally wasn't aware of that and joined through the Apple TV, and it was a horrible experience. And the teacher was freaking out. The teacher's at home, and I was like, look, you got to calm down. Let me troubleshoot this. And I was like, oh, it's on Apple TV. So I turned off Apple TV, and all of a sudden, magically, all the issues went away. And I was like, yeah, you can't join Apple TV. You have to, it has to be a direct connection.
Right.
But that's what we're doing. And it seems to be, it's not great, but it seems to be working pretty well. So the teachers are somewhat happy. I think the students, and this is just a temporary thing until vaccines come our way. So I think this is a pretty good solution. So the High Flex was a good inspiration, and I just kind of simplified it a little bit more with what we had on task two. That was another thing. I didn't want to go out and spend thousands of dollars on a temporary solution that I know is not going to be needed for that. We're not going to. So that was also part of the thinking there. So it was good. It was good.
All right.
Now, Tony, you have your own blue microphone you want to talk about.
Oh yeah, I knew the Yeti was like the Yeti Blue was good, but we couldn't get them. They were like out of stock or just overpriced, and we finally got some in. And I just want to say that the base model Yeti Blue, it's got four sound patterns on the back. In a classroom, you want to use stereo or omni, and it seems to work great within like 10 feet of the microphone, so it's working well now in all of our classrooms.
Yeah, and something I like about the Yetis over the Snowball Ice, because those are the same company, for the people out there who haven't picked up on that. That's the same company. Is the Yeti has a gain control on it, so you can actually make it more sensitive or less sensitive, whereas the Blue Snowball Ice has none of that. So only one pattern and no gain.
That's right.
Plenty of gain. Yeah, I like we recorded the IT Babble, the early IT Babble podcasts, the Yeti on a blue Yeti for a very long time. It worked out pretty well. Not as good as my H6, but you know.
Yeah. And you can, if you're school, if you contact don't go to Amazon, like just straight up, don't go online, just Amazon and order. Contact a company like Sweetwater Sound or just a big AV company. They can get you pricing on Yetis if you buy like 10 or more.
Yeah.
So if you actually want to buy like 30, don't pay retail and don't pay like Amazon online prices.
Yeah. BH Photo is another good place that I think will do business with schools and give a good discount.
But you have to, you need to reach out to a salesperson. Don't just start filling your cart up.
Yeah. This is correct. This is correct. Sweetwater, I'm in Indiana. Sweetwater is also in Indiana. We do buy high, and they sell everything AV related, everything you can dream of. And their salespeople are super, super knowledgeable too, and will not try to sell you something that's stupid and unworthy.
Yeah, I agree. They're pretty knowledgeable people.
Yep. We buy our theater microphones through them. So really, really good stuff. Really good people there. And finally, Tony, YouTube playlists. I love them. You love them. Let's talk about what we love.
People won't use them, Patrick. I love them, but people just like won't use them. Okay, that's the truth. The truth is that I've tried to show teachers how to use them a million times. I'm like, yeah, you can do this, you can do that. I'm like, but why can't I just upload it? Go ahead. I mean, I agree with you. They're amazing. Yeah. So go over the features and then just everybody know that no one will use them. Go ahead.
All right. So I had a teacher ask me last week. They're like, Patrick, I want to make a playlist and then just share a playlist in the Google Classroom. Can I do that? And I was like, you definitely, absolutely, 100% can do that. And they're like, I don't know. How do I do this? I said, it's super simple. I'll send you some instructions. And so I said, wow, I might as well just write a post about this because it is really easy. So what it is, you go through YouTube, you find videos that you want your students to watch, and you can quickly, there's a button to press, and if you know what it looks like, you'll know it forever. You hit this button, and you can actually add it to an existing playlist, or you can create a new playlist. And you can add as many videos as you want. And then you can go to the playlist and you can reorder them. You can delete them. You can add a bunch of them to another playlist. Let's say you're like, wow, I have an advanced class. And I want to take these four videos over into the advanced class too. You can just send those four videos into a brand new playlist. And what's even great is if you collaborate with another teacher or other teachers, you guys can make a collaborative playlist. You can just put a bunch of resources together. And it's there and it's great. And all you have to do is share one link out and the students have access to all those videos in the order you want them to watch them. It's beautiful. It's fantastic.
I personally use playlists all the time to organize my training videos. And even if people don't use the playlist, I use the playlist for myself. It makes it easier for me. Mm-hmm. And I have like 12 different categories. And so I will tag a video for every category it fits in.
Yep. Yep. This is definitely something that I'm going to be offering PD for at our school. And I am going to send that teacher this link to the post that I wrote. Because okay, it's just a how-to. It's a good one. It's a how-to, lots of pictures, very easy to follow, I think. So
Patrick, I have breaking news.
Oh, let's hear it.
OSU super fan. They didn't cheat. The real cheat is that other teams and their fans didn't want them to get into the playoffs because they knew OSU is good and hard to beat.
I have no disagreement with that, but they changed the rules. Tony, if somebody changes the rules to win the game, that is cheating. They changed the rules to get into the championship Final Four.
Is that?
I think so. I think so.
I don't know. I'll have to look into that. I'm not really sure if that's true.
And I'm a pretty big fan. I don't know if I'd consider myself a super fan, but I'm a rational fan. And if it smells rotten, I'm gonna say it smells rotten.
You're a big Ohio State fan, right?
I am. My brothers and I we always root for the Buckeyes. You know, we have probably one of the least intimidating mascots on the planet. Ohio State, their mascot is a poisonous nut.
We'll throw it at your mouth.
I guess you could, but it's really hard. It's a really, really hard nut. Like, you can't just pop it in your mouth and accidentally eat it. No, that doesn't happen at all. So but they're really like pretty, though. They're really
like
pretty looking
fruit or something though, right?
It could be. Well, yeah, it falls from a tree. I guess it could be considered a fruit. It's a nut. Nuts are fruits, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too. So, yeah. So, we are a poisonous fruit. That's our mascot. Poisonous fruit. Beware. But don't pick us up.
I lost you.
Oh, you did? Are you on my back?
Just came back.
Okay. Yeah, I lost you briefly as well. That's weird. That's weird. Maybe
it's all right.
Maybe Skype is getting taken down.
Could be. Skype needs to get their own hosting.
They need to get their own hosting. They sure do. Anyway, well, I don't think I have anything else except CES is underway, and there's going to be a whole bunch of weird, wonky gadgets coming our way.
It's all we like cares. I'm sorry. That's the kind of place you need to go and like touch stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing I'm excited for is that Samsung, HP, Dell, all these companies are going to be releasing their next generation Chromebooks. So I'm just kind of curious to see what they come up with. Like Lenovo came up with the Duet, and the Duet is a really exciting Chromebook, as exciting as a Chromebook can be. But it's a tablet, and it's like a Surface Pro, like the keyboard detaches. So I'm really excited to see what people are doing, because Chromebooks are getting better and better and better every year.
Are they, Patrick?
Yes, they are.
Or is everything else just getting worse?
Whoa! I don't know.
Emerald silicone, baby.
well, you know, Google has made their own chip. I don't know if you heard about that, Tony. But they made it for their servers. But they have their own chip, their own ARM, like the Apple M1. And Microsoft has been working on their own chip to put in their Azure servers, but they have said that they can modify that and probably stick it into their Surface lineup.
Yeah, I think everyone's sticking it to Intel right now.
Yeah, don't invest in Intel. We are not brokers, nor do we know anything about finance. Well, we know a little bit, but don't buy Intel stock.
You can't say that. Patrick doesn't know anything. Don't listen to him.
I'm not telling people to buy.
Stock advice at all from Patrick. You're not allowed to do that.
That's the only good advice I think I've given outside of YouTube playlists in the past 24 hours. don't.
All right.
Don't listen to Patrick on stocks and get a YouTube playlist.
Buy a good ladder. Fiberglass so you don't electrocute yourself.
That's a good one. All right. Well, that's it. I don't have anything else. So for IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
I'm Tony.
And keep on babbling out there, and we'll catch you on the next podcast.